I've got notes here, and I'm probably not going to use them as much as I prepared them, because I was actually really excited about this message today. Last Sunday, I got an email from Katrina, our worship leader, and she said she wants to try a new song for our portfolio. And as I'm going through the words of this song, I was like, wow, that's my message today. He knows my name. He knows my name. And that is so important when we start thinking about everything in this life, that who we know is important sometimes. And people place value lots of times by who they are, who their boss is and who they know. But sometimes we let that escape within us. So what I want to do is I want to start from Psalm 23. Everybody knows this is the Shepherd's Prayer. And we're going to do a comparison with that of the Good Shepherd, which would be John 10. And those are where we're going to be most of the time in the Scriptures today. So Psalms 23, if you have your Bible, starting from verse 1, we're going to go through the whole chapter. This is one of the ones we don't have to sit there and say it's like 50 verses. It's only 6, so it's really easy. A lot of us remembered this maybe in Sunday school. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why do you not want? It's because the Lord is your shepherd. He provides for the sheep. He takes care of the sheep. And then the next one, he maketh me. And I want to emphasize that second part, that first, those first two words. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes in our lives, we run amok and start going our own way. And the Lord is saying, be still and know that I am God. He makes us have to sit down and listen sometimes. It doesn't say that he's asking. This one, he says he makes us, because he's our shepherd. We're the sheep. We're his sheep, and that's the important part. He's not going to make people that are not his sheep to sit down, but he is going to make his sheep sit down and listen to him at times. Then he leadeth me beside the still waters. He's leading us. He's not forcing us with a whip. He makes us lie down, but now it's time to lead us, because right now, when he made us lie down to be able to recognize who he is, now we can follow the Good Shepherd. Then he restoreth my soul. How many times do you need to be restored, your soul? You need to be refreshed. What he's talking about here, when we talk about soul, most people, when they think of the three elements of a person, body, soul, and spirit, they think that the body is the important part. The body is not you. Your soul is who you are. He restores you. Sometimes we have infirmities and problems that hurt us, your bodies, but that is not you. That is just the outward shell where you are residing at. Your soul is who you are as a person, and this is who God restores. Sometimes you may feel weak in the flesh, but you can be strong in the spirit. And sometimes it's the opposite way. There's people that build up their arm, their muscles. They build up their body so strong, and yet they have no life. They have no spiritual life. The reason why is because their emphasis is always on the outward and not on the inward. So he restores my soul. And we're really going to get in a little bit of meat here later on when we go into John 10, and I'm going to go through this. But he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Wait a minute. I thought it was for my goodwill. Well, yeah, it is. He does care about that. But you're his sheep. And as you're branded, as you seem like cows and sheep are branded of who they own, who owns them, they put a brand. I'm the owner. That means that you represent that owner. And if you are the Lord's sheep, he's going to lead you the right way, that you represent your Lord. And so he's doing it for his name's sake. Have you ever heard people that sit there and talk about, well, you're an Espinosa, so behave like one. Or when you talk about your last name, don't you have to hold up the family name. It means something when you have that name. And if you mess it all, I know my son behind me is making faces behind me. I'm sorry about that, folks. I see that by your faces. But anyhow, but you represent your family. And if you, as a person, are going to be the black sheep of the family, people are going to know it. And then they start looking at the family. What else is wrong? If that one person child's wrong, what else is wrong? And sometimes it's not the family's fault. Sheep do go astray. Next one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why do I fear no evil? For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we're going to be talking about a shepherd, rod, and staff later on, of why this is so important. But it's because of that staff that and his rod that we are comforted. And there is some good news coming in these next ones. Because the next verse says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, every tongue, the scripture says, that comes against you, you shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the children of the Lord. This is your heritage. In this earth, you may be condemned by people for who is your Lord, for acting the ways you do, for living the way you do for God. They may despise you, they may hate you, they may persecute you, but in the end, you will condemn them. And it's not that you want to condemn them now. You want to bring them in now. You want them in the sheepfold. But in the end, when they reject the love of Christ, it's going to come back at their face that you love them. The scripture talks about it's pouring coals on top of their heads. There's a hope for us that we can bring more people into the sheepfold. But at the same time, if they reject it in the end, there is no hope for them. And that's in the last judgment. And thou anointest my head with oil. How many people know that they need the anointing? My cup runneth over. How many people? We should be running over, flowing with the presence of God in our life. And I love this next one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you're a child of God and you're following the good shepherd, this should be following you everywhere. Goodness and mercy. The mercy of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. Not of this earth. Talks about in Deuteronomy about those who kept the commandments that blessings will pursue those who were keeping his commandments. And here, if you're a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved and redeemed, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And here's the best part. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How long? Forever. The sheep don't stay at pasture. They end up in the house. We end up in the house. And like I said, we're going to compare this to John 10, starting with verse 1. And it starts out, verily, verily. Does anybody know why it says it twice? Pay attention, exactly, as Diane said. It means, I'm saying this that I really want you to say it. Sometimes it says in some of the other versions, truly, truly. It doesn't mean that when he was saying truly, truly, that all the other stuff I was speaking was a lie. That's not what it means. It means, I want you to pay attention. This is important, and this is important. So starting from the first verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a liar. Now, you may be in church, you may be in the sheepfold, but there may be people around you in your church, in your sheepfold, that are not the Lord's sheep. You believe that? You see that in there? Now, Paul and Jesus both warned us about false prophets, false Christs. There's also false believers and false sheep. Paul tells us in Acts that he warned the church day and night that there would come wolves in sheep's clothing, not sparing the flock. He did this day and night. He with tears, he said. It was very important because God does not want his sheep scattered because of the wolves. This is why it is so important when we look at comparing it to the good shepherd to the false shepherds. Now, most of this has to do with Israel, but you're going to see that later on it applies to us as well. He is speaking to Israel because in the chapter before, in chapter 9, there was a blind man which Jesus healed. And this blind man that he healed didn't know who he was at the time. So the Pharisees asked, how did this happen? And he says, I don't know. Somebody healed me. And so he was thrown out of the temple because he proclaimed that the Lord healed him, but didn't know anything about him, if he was the Christ or not or anything else. And so Jesus speaks about this starting from verse 34 in chapter 9. It says, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in your sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And then Jesus heard that he was cast out, and when he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? This man did not even know who Jesus was, hardly. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Talk about faith. This is the faith that Jesus wants. Somebody that wants to just believe on him because the Lord has spoken to him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen it, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That's the difference from that actually shows that Jesus is divinity, because he accepted worship even on earth. And we will all bow down one day. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Not that Jesus is looking for the glory. God wants him to receive the glory. And everything that Jesus received, he gives to the Father. And Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, remember, when we say Pharisees, a lot of people think they get a big bad rap, that all the Pharisees Jesus was against. That was not true. There were multitudes of Pharisees that believed on Jesus. There was a multitude of Pharisees that actually warned Jesus that Herod was after him at one time. And these aren't the same Pharisees. These are the religious Pharisees that are threatened by the position of a new person coming to the flock that may steal away their sheep because they started following him and not them. If somebody can take away your sheep, they're not your sheep. They're not your sheep. And we need to be the Lord's sheep. And then they said to him, where are we also blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. Wait a minute, what does that mean? If you were blind, you would have no sin. It's because you have that knowledge that you know what is right and wrong, and you do not act upon it, that you are not blind, but your sin remains. As he says here, but because you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And this is when he starts with the parable of the good shepherd. He's talking about he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth another way, is a sheep, is a thief and a robber. This is what he's talking about the religious Pharisees at the time. But look at the next verse. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. It is the door that is being opened. It is the door that allows the sheep in. And who is the door? We will find it. Jesus will actually proclaim a little later on that he is the door. When we read in Revelations, I think it's in chapter 3, it talks about he knocketh at the door of our heart. People call it. He's not knocking at the door of your heart. He is the door knocking. Come in, open the door, and I will come into you, and will sup you and you with me. It's all about relationship. It's not about power. It's not about being the position of who's the head sheep. It's about him, period. And then verse 3, and this is the one I love, and I think everybody here is going to love this. To him the portereth open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. You see that? His sheep hear his voice. If you're a sheep of the Lord, if you're a child of God, you hear the voice of Jesus. You hear the voice. You know, a lot of people says, oh, you hear from God? Oh, that's strange. I'm scared of a church that where the pastor says he hears from God. I'm afraid of a pastor who says he doesn't have no direction from God. We need direction from God. And he is our pastors on earth. But how about you? All sheep should be hearing his voice. All sheep. And then it says, he calleth them by name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Ain't that awesome? That he knows your name. You know, we were talking about stars and knowing people at the beginning of this. You know, the president may never know your name. And we may have met stars like, I met Charlie Daniels years ago as a kid, and it's like that left an impression on me. But how about when you have met the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember that day? Do you remember the day that he said, you are my child? And now, not only that, I met Charlie Daniels years ago. He don't know who I am, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows my name. He knows my name. And it says he calls me by my name. Uncle Sam does not know you by your name. He knows you by tax ID, Social Security, and how much money you make. But Jesus knows you. That's so important. That he cares for his sheep. This is a true government, the government of God, who has a relationship with each person. And there is no other person that can do that in this world. If you shook hands with the president, you may have shaken hands with the most powerful man in this country that has his finger on the button that can actually make and break different countries, start wars and world wars. But our God, a God that knows my name, that has called me by his name, he leads me in and out of pasture. And you know what? All these guys, all these stars are going to have to answer to him one day, as we all do. But you know what? He don't know their name. He knows our name. And I want to show you that. If you go to Matthew chapter 7. Do you know God can be forgetful at times? You know why? He chooses to. I remember your sins no more. He can have selective memory. Sometimes we don't have that. And verse 21. Oh, wait. since we already talked about this, go to verse 13. And we were talking about the gate. And it says, enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Somebody being led to destruction is those who are going the wrong way. Remember, it is the Lord that leads us. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there are few that find it. Then verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves, and you should know them by their fruit. You'll be able to tell them. They may have false fruit, may look good on the outside, but on the inside, when it really rubber meets the mat, they're the ones that's leaving. So, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the scripture says, what is the will of God? What is the work of God? That you believe on him whom he sent. Got to believe on the Lord. Not just because you say, Lord, Lord, you have to have a relationship. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. He's not calling these people by their name. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You may have proclaimed my name, but you did not have a relationship with me. If I was your shepherd, you'd hear my voice and you would do what I'm telling you. I will lead you in and out of pasture. Didn't the scripture say, go ye into the world? It says that he will lead them in and he will lead them out. In verse 3, and he leadeth them out. So what is he talking about leading them out? When he told the disciples, go ye into the world and the great commissions in Matthew 28, it tells you later on, go into the world and preach the gospels. He talks about all power was given unto him in heaven and earth, but you go into the world and preach the gospel. And he tells them to teach him all things that I've observed, that I've taught you and observed. And then he tells them, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. What he's telling you is that he's still leading you when he tells you to go. He's still with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He was always with you. You may not feel like it all the time, but he's there if you're his sheep. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want, because he's always there with you. He provides for his sheep. And look at let's continue on. Verse 4, chapter 10 of John. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. You know what? We used to always talk about this when we in the military or anything else, is that the leader would never ask somebody else to go somewhere that the leader did not go first. Jesus went out before us. He's prepared the way. He leads us. So he says he's prepared the way before them. He leadeth them. So he's going to be the one in front. He calls you by your name, and then he puts out his own sheep, and he goeth before them. He's leading them. And the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. Do you know the voice of the Lord today? That is what is so important. When we were talking about the rod and the staff in Psalms 23, this goes with it. Sometimes sheep will go astray. They will. The little lambs are still immature, and so they'll go astray. Mary had a good illustration of this the other week when she was talking about when she was a little girl. Her and her father used to go on a walk, and there was one path. But she thought another path as a kid looked really good. And so she would just go straight on that other path. But when she got there, it's full of thistles and everything else that you didn't want to walk on. And you know what? He let her go for a little while, and then she finally returned. And that's what the Lord lets us do sometimes. Is we sometimes each, like sheep, go astray, each their own way. But he brings us back with that rod and that staff that's in his hand. It's got a crook on it. Pulls them back nice and gently. But sometimes they go astray way too often. And so what needs to be done in that instance is something that is not going to be really pleasant for animal rights activists here. The shepherd used to every once in a while break one of the legs. And when he broke one of the legs, he'd actually mend it. The sheep couldn't run away. But that little lamb, he would carry and hold, and he'd talk to it. After a while, he gets to know the master's voice, the shepherd's voice. And so when that leg was healed, it's hard to get that little lamb away from him. It's like he's always there. Because they learn to trust the good shepherd. Third one. Borrow your cane for a second. The ones that says, well, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We talked about the pulling. Another thing that they used to do is the shepherd used to knock his staff on the rocks that's near him. Lets the sheep know where he was at. Every time he just could do that. The sheep know that long as they can hear that they're in the right area. And so they have a comfort in them. It was a comfort to them to hear that rap on the rock by the shepherd. And so, thank you, Diane. Something we need to know is that sometimes that rap is there. It may not always be just his voice, but we know he's in that area because he's doing things in your life that you see. There's evidence that he's working in your life. And sometimes it's just that little rap on the rocks. Oh, you got a healing. Oh, you've got a touch of the Lord. You felt his presence. Oh, circumstances worked that he paid my bills when I didn't know how I was going to do them that week. Those circumstances is, praise God, the shepherd taking care of his sheep. The shepherd taking care of his sheep. And sometimes we need to realize that, you know what? We may not be hearing clearly, but we can see his work in our lives at all times. And the reason we're not hearing clearly most of the time is we're not listening. Be still and know that I am God. So their sheep will, his sheep will follow him. And the stranger they will not shall follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Now this is where we get into false shepherds. There's a lot of false shepherds out there that do not care for the sheep. And they like the exposure, the money, and this is something similar to the hireling we're going to talk about in a second. If you have your Bibles today, go to Ezekiel chapter 34, I think. Yeah, it's in the Old Testament, about a third of the way. And we're going to start from verse 1, and we'll probably go to verse 4. Actually, we can go to verse 5. Actually, we probably can do the whole thing. But anyhow, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that do feed themselves, and should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" If you look at that right there, he didn't say all the shepherds of Israel. He's talking about the ones that are feeding themselves and are not feeding the flocks. "You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which is driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. but with force and cruelty have you ruled over them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became as meat unto all the beasts of the fields, and they were scattered. And there's a lot more if you want to read that on your own after the service or later on this week. But the protection of the sheep is a relationship with the shepherd. Another protection is them being together, the sheep being together. This is our idea of saying, go to church. Go to church. The shepherds are important because they're supposed to feed the flock. But the sheep themselves have a little bit of a self-defense before. When a wolf would come in after the sheep, all the sheep would gather into like a big cotton ball. And the wolf cannot get to them. What he's looking for is the one that flees from that big cotton ball. And that one that straggles away and is left alone is the one he's going to devour. Church, we need to be united in Christ. We need to be united with each other. And we need to be united in the Lord. If we are, the beast of the fields, the enemy for your souls, cannot hurt you. Because when somebody else is hurting, the other one's helping heal that wound. And the other one's protecting. They're doing it through prayer. Let me ask you this. How much power do you think you have in yourselves? Most people, exactly, none. Most people think, oh, I'm a prayer warrior for the Lord. Let me ask you, are you praying in the Spirit or on your own? If you're praying in the Spirit, you may be a prayer warrior, but it's not your spirit, it's His Spirit. Oh, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's His weapons. The armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. It's His armor. Without the Lord, we are defenseless. We're defenseless. But with the Lord, we will run through an army. Two will put 1,000 to flight. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to be more than two. Two or three are gathered in my name. There is the shepherd in the midst of them. Hallelujah. So we're not going to follow the stranger because we don't know his voice. But you know how many people do that, though? Even in the church today, we go through fads lots of times. Have you seen fads of new teachings that come in the church sometimes? Oh, you got to go listen to this anointed pastor from so-and-so. And sometimes people would leave another church, go to that other church because they thought there was a mighty anointing of God. And all it was a charade to pull other sheep away. And what happens? They found out that after they spent all their money, their time, and their resources to help that other ministry, that he runs away with their money. He's selling snake oil. It's the same thing. It happens lots of times. There's people that sell anointed cloths on TV. Sell it. Well, they call it a gift. For a gift of $15, $20, $30. Are you really trying to feed the sheep? Or are you sitting there trying to make money out of a business, out of the ministry of God? There's a difference. When you anoint with oil, you don't do it for the money. When you're praying for somebody, you're not doing it for the money. It's because you care and you love for people. And Jesus has that same love for people. And then verse 6, the parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. They should have understood this pretty clear if they ever knew anything about sheep. These are shepherds. They come from a shepherd mentality, a farming mentality. Israel's been shepherds for a long time. They've lived with livestock all this time. And yet the religious leaders still can't understand it? No, they've separated themselves so far from the people, they don't know the culture anymore. Oh, I don't have to work anymore because I'm a pastor of a church, and so I don't understand your problems. God provides for me. No, the sheep are providing the wool, the flax, and everything else, but are you feeding the sheep? Are you helping bind those wounds? Are you to heal those brokenhearted? That's the difference of a true shepherd. No, you can't separate yourself like, I am so elite that I have no part with the people anymore. A real shepherd sleeps with the sheep. He's in the field with the sheep. He's not, I'm part-time over here. And we do have, right, even in this church, we have part-time ministers. But every time somebody calls, somebody will come up here and help. We have, anytime there's a need, there's always somebody. And even if a pastor's busy, he'll call me. If I'm and we're both busy, we'll call Steve. If Steve's busy, we'll call Teresa. We'll call Diane. We'll call anybody. Everybody has a part in the church, in the household of God, because it's a unity of faith. We've got others that's just coming in, and they're going to be part of that too. You may get that call at midnight. Pray for somebody. And it's not like we're doing it just to wake you up in the middle of the night. It means needs prayer. And that's how the work of God's supposed to be. The sheep's supposed to dwell together, and the shepherd as well. And he entrusts his sheep with certain responsibilities. There's head sheep. Jesus entrusted our pastor with this sheepfold. And so we're all under the head sheep, though, shepherd. The good shepherd. Then, going with verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. How does the sheep get in? They got to go through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the door. You got to come through me. You can't get in to the field that I have without me. If you come in a different way than the door, you're a false sheep. You're a false shepherd. But I am the door of the sheep. So to be able to enter in, you hear my voice, and I say, come, and I open the door to you because I am the door. Come on in. Come on in. Oh, and then he goes in further. All that came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Remember, they're not going to follow the voice of another shepherd that's of not the Lord. In verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. You go in and out of the pasture. He tells you to go, go. He tells you to come, come. And every time he does that, you're going to find pasture. Go into the world. That is a field. That is a pasture that we need to bring others in. The wheat and the tares dwell together. The tares, the weeds, the ones that the enemy planted. The Lord will separate them in the last day. He said, let them grow together until the end. And because I don't want to ruin, I don't want you to tear out the wheat. The fruit, I want them to continually to grow as an example for the tares that they could say, oh, I shouldn't be a tare. How do I become a fruit? How do I get to bear fruit? I look like a wheat, but I really don't have no fruit. Nothing that tastes good. No, nothing that has salt in it or spice that sits there and it makes me desirable for anything. And then he says he will gather the wheat into his barn. And then he will take the tares and the chaff, and he would sit there and burn them. That's part of the threshing process. We will dwell together. But the part is, it's if any man enter in, first you have to hear. Then you have to enter in. That's by giving your heart to the Lord, and you will be saved. Verse 10, and a lot of people know this one. The thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and to give it more abundantly. See, that's what Jesus is about, life. The thief is trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy the work that you have in the Lord. Remember, all the works we have is what he's given us. I mean, all our works is as filthy rags. And all we as sheep have gone astray. But he's healed us all of that. It's that. As we have come to the good shepherd, he gave. Remember I said that he leads first? Next verse exactly shows you how. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He led the way. He died first that you may have life. He's not asking you to go anywhere he hasn't gone before. Yes, we've had brothers and sisters that have given their lives for the Lord, but he went first. He gave his life first. That he was the first one also risen from the dead, that we too may be raised in a newness of life. Now here we go to the next part, the hireling. Verse 12. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep. Now, we talk about false shepherd, but the hireling is not a false shepherd. He's worse than that. He's a part-time shepherd hired to take care of sheep. But you see here, it says, and his sheep, they're not the sheep of the Lord. He has his own sheep. This is a mimic of what the church really is. False churches. We see a lot of false doctrines being taught out there. A lot of false congregations out there. And so what happens here, you actually see what the hireling does here. A hireling is exactly what he said. He's hired for a certain amount. All he cares about is his money and how many people he can get in. He seeth, and when he seeth the wolf coming, he leaveth the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. He cares about the money. He doesn't care about the people. He doesn't care about the sheep. I've got what I got. I've taken all I could out of these sheep. I'm going on to the next flock. I'm going to try to devour what I can from the next flock. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about those that would actually follow false shepherds and hirelings, basically. It says that in the end, that, you know, many will depart from the faith. That says that in 1 Corinthians. And then it says here that in the end, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not those that go halfway. Those that stay inside that flock will be there. But there will be a man that will come in as a false shepherd in the end time who people will believe that he would even fool the very elect if it were possible. But it's not possible if you hear his voice and he calls you by name. That's the important part. You hear his voice. You know the voice of the good shepherd. That's how you will not be tricked and deceived. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You are known of mine. That means you represent him. You know Jesus, right? That's what he's saying. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And here we go. He's talking to Israel here. I'm letting you know that. But this next verse brings us in here. We're part of the same sheepfold in the end. And he says here, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's the Gentile believers. That's those that were not Jewish. We are that other fold that is brought in to the one fold. There's another, we're another part herd coming in to make part of the big herd. The Jews will one day believe in Messiah, and we will be as one. And we will be as one, hallelujah. And that's where we are part of that. Even though, and you see that, when he was talking to Israel, everything that applied with Israel, when he was talking about my sheep hear my voice, he's saying the same thing here. Other sheep I have which are not a fold, they must bring. They shall hear my voice. We should hear his voice. So this applies to all. God is not a respecter of persons. You may have been born a Jew. You may have been born a Gentile. But God is not a respecter of persons. The door is still Jesus Christ. No matter where you're going, where you live, where you came from, Jesus Christ is still the door. Therefore did the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And if anybody thinks that he was murdered, yes, there was a lot of laws broken for him to be killed. But it says, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. He did not have to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was facing him, but he went anyway. He could have not went to the Garden of Gethsemane that day after Judas went to betray him. When it said Satan entered Judas and to betray him, and Jesus went to the garden where they often gathered, Jesus knew they were coming. He said, let's sit down and pray for a while. He told two of his disciples to come up, pray with me. They couldn't pray an hour. But he knew that they were coming. They could have left the place. He laid down his life as a sacrifice. The difference is, the regular lambs that were actually sacrificed by Israel never did get that opportunity to be able to do that. They didn't say, I volunteer. Jesus said, I volunteer. I give my life. So now let's go back into eschatology a little bit. Eschatology. What's eschatology? It's a big, long word that says last things or last days. There's going to be a day where Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. Another way that, and you, when you think of the hireling that a shepherd would do underneath the shepherd, he sometimes would put a bell on a goat and move that goat to go ahead and go, and the sheep would follow that bell. They're not following the goat. They're following that bell. And so he trains his sheep that way, because if he wants to get something, goats are driven, sheep are led. So that bell, as the shepherd is leading that goat to go through things, to different places, the sheep would follow that bell because of the shepherd driving the goat. You can't drive sheep. You can't just sit there and hit them like that. They have to, like I was talking about the rap, he calls them by their voice. They also had a distinctive sounds of not only in their voice, but sometimes different whistles. Many times in a sheepfold, what they would do is, different places that had lots of different sheep. So you had a lot of shepherds in Israel go to this one place where there was a lot of pasture. They would send their sheep out into those pastures. And they would go out there and eat. And as they're eating and stuff, all the shepherds would sit there because it's a safe place. And they'll take turns watching all the sheep. And then when it came time to go, well, if I had a sheep out there, I'd go, I have a special whistle. And only my sheep would come. They know that whistle. The next shepherd would have a woo-hoo, some other sound, and they'll follow him. They will not follow the voice of that stranger because they know who they belong to. Do you know who you belong to today? That's the important part. So let's go back and eschatology a little bit. And I'm going to go into my notes on this one a little bit. Matthew chapter 25, it talks about the day when the Lord will gather all the sheep together. And I'm just going to do a couple verses here because most people are familiar with it. But in verse 34, after he separates the goats, he puts some on his right hand and some on the left hand side. And he said, and then said the king unto them on my right hand, come, my Father, blessed ones, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come. And he says, what was the dividing? It's because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And he said, Lord, when were you in prison that we did this? When were you naked? When were you? Matthew 25. You're welcome. I'm actually reading only the parts that says like 34 right now. And then he answered him. He says, when you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And then he tells those on the left side in verse 40. In solemn truth, I tell you, the king will answer them that in so much as you've not done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And then later on, he comes up and he sits there and tells those that are on the left side, depart from me. Depart from me. You're not my sheep. You did not hear my voice. You did not do as I said. Revelations 20, 11 through 12. It tells us in the end times that I saw a great throne and him that sat on him, from whose the face of the earth, heaven fled away, and there was found no place for him. And the dead, small and great, will stand before God. We talked about that. That was part of the song today. All creatures, great and small, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened. And the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. If you're found in the book of life, it's because you have a shepherd, the good shepherd. In verse 15 it says, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We have a hope of a city coming down. That time when the separation will be done. And I know a lot of people try to think of where and when will this happen. We'll talk about Armageddon. Some people talk about Petra. But there's actually a city near Petra, Basra. And if you look in Isaiah 63, 1 through 4, it talks about whosoever is this that cometh to him with dyed garments from Basra. That is the glorious in his apparel and traveling in the greatness of the strength. I speak the righteous might be saved. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? Who treads the wine fat in Revelations? The Lord. I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people that was none for me. I will tread my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain my raiment, for the day of the vengeance of mine heart and the year of the redeemed has come. The redeemed of the Lord has come. And then he says, and I got three verses that go all with this. That word Basra, when he talks about Basra, do you know what that word means? It means the gate. It is the sheep gate. He is going to divide the sheep from the goats right at the gate. And those that know his voice will enter in. Those who know his voice, again, he knows your name. Nobody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got so much here, but before time, I'm not going to go through all that. I will go through Micah 2, 12 to 13 is my last. It says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of there. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Basra, as the flock in the midst of their fold. And there shall be a great noise by the multitude. The reason of the multitude of men. The breaker has come before me, and they have been broken up, and they have passed through the gates and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord is the head of them. He's leading them in. The Lord is ahead of them. Is he your Lord? Is he your head? Is he leading you? And does he call you by name? If you're listening to me by the internet right now and you don't know if you've ever heard from the Lord, all you have to do is allow him to be your shepherd, to be the Lord of your life, and he will. All you have to do is say, Lord, I don't know if I know you. I don't know if I've heard your voice. Your word says that if you be lifted up in the world and you were lifted up, that you would draw all men to you. And that's by calling them. I know that I've been as a sheep gone astray. We've all gone our own way. Lord, just take my sins. Cleanse them by your precious blood. I accept the work you did on the cross when you died for me and was resurrected to give me new life. Come into my life. that I may hear your voice, that I can hear you call me by name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.